Praise the Lord. Now you can be seated, and you don't have to have permission to stand up or sit down, all right? I always say, people, if you're standing too long and you're thinking more about your feet than you are Jesus, then we're probably missing something here, so sit down. But a lot of times I can't worship sitting down. I've got to stand up and give him everything. So if that's the way you want to do it, you don't have to have an invitation. Give your best to God. Well, it's just so good to be back here at Baltimore Christian Faith Center. How many times have I been here? I was talking to Pastor Teddy, trying to think of how many times. I think the first time we came, they were in the trailer, and the new building wasn't built yet. I think Pastor Paul walked us over here, though, and we got a peek at it. And so we've been here 4 or 5 times since, and always a pleasure to come and minister at this place. I always feel Jesus in this house, and that's a very, very special thing. So really good to be here this morning and again this evening. I'm going to have a good time tonight. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have a good, good time. Who knows? God just may open up heaven and just let it begin to rain in this place. The glory of the Lord. What an exciting day to be alive. He has chosen you and me to be alive at the most important time in the history of the world. We have an assignment to carry out the plan of heaven. We have an assignment in this nation. You have an assignment in this city to carry out the plan of heaven. I'm excited to see what's coming because God never loses. Victory is coming. He rarely does it the way you think he should. If I was in charge, I would do it differently. But he flows in a wisdom that we have no knowledge of. And I'm just thankful that his grace is sufficient. Thank you. gifts of healing over the people. Physical healing, spiritual healing, healing of finances, Lord. Healing of broken and wounded hearts. Jesus didn't walk away at the cross. He'll never walk away from you now. He never fails. Paul said in the Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness, absolute ridiculousness. You see that today. You see how Christianity is mocked in America. Just go on social media and make some sort of a comment and watch what happens. Or read the headlines. The preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness. But to those of us who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah! I'm more in love with him than I've ever been. I believe now more in God than I've ever believed in him before. You see, he functions in a realm of wisdom that he would not share with us human beings. That's why when you see things you don't understand, I remember they asked Dr. Cho one time, he would have these big prayer lines. And someone asked him, what do you do when you pray for this person and they don't get healed? He said, I go to the next person. That might be about the most wise thing you could say, because he's not God. Why did Pastor Paul leave the earth before any of us wanted him to? I don't know, but I know one who does. My wife gets a kick out of the term that I've coined a few years ago called, now I got to remember it, unfigure-outable. Stop trying to figure out a God who is unfigure-outable. How can you figure out one who has always been? That will blow your brain right out of your head if you get stuck there. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an ending. We can't figure out the one who made the heavens and the earth. So we don't have to. He didn't create us to figure him out. We only can do what we can do. I do what I do. This is what he taught me years ago, because I wanted to see certain results in my services. I wanted to see miraculous healings. People were coming to my services for a season of my ministry in wheelchairs, and I wanted to see things happen. And God said, son, you do what you do, and I'll do what I do. Don't get those two things confused, because you can't do what I do. And I release healing to some, and I withhold it from others, and only I know that. That's not for you to know. It's for you to operate in faith and do all that you can with what I've told you through my word. But I'm God, and you are not. And I'm comfortable with that now. I wish I had more answers than I do. The longer I know him, the less I seem to know about him. But I trust him. So last year when COVID hit, you know what that's like for an itinerant minister who makes his living going from church to church to church to church to conference to church, and all of that gets wiped out in 1 week? And our entire calendar suddenly was wide open. And I paid our salaries for my ministry in March. And there was like this much money left in the checkbook, about $2,000 left, and nothing on the calendar in April, and nothing on the calendar in May or June or July or August or September, October. Not one thing. And I looked at Liz and I said, this could be serious. I don't quite know what we're going to do here. So about 8 or 9 months earlier than that, Liz said, you know, you should have a YouTube program and just go on and just minister for a little while, once a week, twice a week, whatever. Well, I was so busy with ministry a year before that that I said, I just don't feel like I can really give time to that right now. I don't feel like I could put my heart in that. But we both kind of tucked it in the back of our brains, you know? Well, when COVID hit, it came back out from the cobwebs. And so we decided on the 25th of March last year to begin a program called An Hour with Jesus every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Well, the first week came, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. The video kept blacking out. The audio was distorted. We're using my little iPhone to try to do this YouTube program. It was like a circus in our upstairs studio. It was comical, except I wasn't laughing. It was awful. And I thought, well, if this is the way this is going to be, we're going to be done with this in about 3 weeks. The next week, things went quite a bit better as we got a little bit more technology in our room so that things could be a smoother transition to the internet. And the next week went really well, and I have a guy who lives in the Netherlands who kind of was putting together all the graphics for the program, and he's kind of in charge of our media. And he said, I don't know if you realize this, this is 3 weeks into this now, but we've had donations or product sales from 55 nations. Not 55 people, 55 nations are worshiping with you every Wednesday night. I was dumbfounded. I had no idea this was catching on like this. And I looked at the providence of God. You see, 20 years ago, I became exposed to the nations with my ministry by being a guest for Benny Hinn's Crusades back in those days. And suddenly, my name was known in nations all over the earth. And so God used that little seed 20 years ago, Marcia, so that when I began a YouTube program, it just was automatic for all those people in those countries. They go, oh, we want to worship with Terry. And so they start tuning in all over the world. And we just had our best financial year in the last 12 years in the midst of COVID. Is that God or what? How can you figure out a God who is unfigureoutable? I give him all the glory. He blew me out of the water. In the natural, it's like, we're toast. This is it. I'm going to have to get a job at Walmart. But God goes, oh, man, I got this all covered. Just worship online for an hour every week. People gather. People go, this is the best hour of the week. I don't go to church anymore, but I wouldn't miss this for anything. So it's just meeting so many needs. People are writing in, oh, please pray. When I tune into the program, suddenly his presence comes into our home. And these things are happening, and I've been healed. Some lady got healed last week, and nobody was praying for her. She's just caught up in the glory of God. So several songs have kind of been born in this last year, and I'm going to play one of them now. Going all through our election cycle back in November and all the turmoil from there on, I thought, God, I don't even know how to pray, and I don't even know how to instruct your people to pray because things are like topsy-turvy. We thought one thing was going to happen, and it didn't, and a lot of other things just going crazy. And so this little chorus, I haven't even written the verse for yet. Liz says, you got to write a verse. I said, well, it's going to have to come when the inspiration hits. All right, so this is how I believe we are to pray over America. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated again. We make things so difficult sometimes, and Jesus said, look, when you pray, pray this way. We sometimes think we know what his will should be, so we pray that. And he goes, you just pray his will. Pray my Father's will into your situation. Pray that his kingdom would come in your churches. Just one of my favorite new love songs.
the first scripture chorus I ever learned. Thou art worthy.
Join the people of Trinidad.
For thou hast created as all things create. Thou
pleasure now.
Receive that.
Every time I sing that old song, and I get to that part where it says, "And for thy pleasure." Everything was created for his pleasure before anything else. So when you're having a bad day, keep that in mind. You were made for the pleasure of the Father. How special is that? You're one of his favorite kids. I'm one of his favorite piano players in the whole world. On a bad day, I have to remind myself of that. The Father loves you. I used to have a sign in my office that said, "The Lord respects me when I work, but he loves me when I sing." Because he made us to worship him before anything else. He desires our love, our love song to him. There will never be another song I sing like your song. Oh, I love the melodies of heaven. I just love the melodies of heaven. I hope he gives me 100 more. I'm going to read a little bit from 1 Peter, and I did not give the scripture to the guys back at the booth. But if you want to follow along, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Let's see, I'm going to go down to second part of verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, second part of first verse 5. It says, "Clothe," and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Yours would be similar to it, I hope. "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Verse 8, this is what I'm going to focus on this morning. "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Oh, thank God for his word. Scripture somewhere else says, "Be wise as serpents and harmless or gentle as doves." The Lord has been really drilling me with this lately on understanding our enemy. Because the enemy is on his hind legs these days. The spirit of Antichrist has been loosed over this land. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. It is a fact. I don't know if the Antichrist is around yet. That's not any of my business. But the spirit of Antichrist is certainly roaming freely around this land, looking for who it may devour. So there's something about understanding the enemy that helps us defeat the enemy. Go back to the Gulf War back in the early 90s, I believe it was. Not real good with my history. But do you know, when the U.S. entered the conflict under George Bush the senior, it wasn't, I don't know if it was 2 days, doctor, when it was over, because we came in having total wisdom and smartness over what the enemy was capable of doing. And our air strike took out the enemy in record time, amazingly fast. Something that, had we not gone in with the right strategy, could have been a bloodbath for weeks and months, with tens of thousands of lives lost. But we understood the capabilities and the limit of the enemy. And we were able to defeat him just like that. How important is it to understand the enemy in your life? In my life, in my walk, in my ministry, in my home, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my city. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about when I was a kid. There was a kid in our neighborhood, and this is being streamed through our YouTube network also. You could have up to 50 nations joining us for church this morning. But when I was a kid, so I'm going to change the name to protect the innocent, all right? Although this kid was not innocent, he was guilty. He knew it, and we all knew it. I'm going to call him Billy. Billy had the biggest ego in our neighborhood. I grew up in Georgetown, Kentucky. Nowadays, that's the home of the Toyota Camry plant. And so, but back then, it was a sleepy little burg of 7,000 people. And that's where I grew up. My dad was transferred to Kentucky from New York with IBM. And so we made our growing up years in Kentucky, which was strange for us Northerners to be finding ourselves in the South where they talked a lot different. That's not part of the story. That was free. So we were having a touch football game. It was probably about 5 against 5. We did this often. Mostly in Kentucky, you play basketball because that's just how Kentucky operates. But in the fall, you give up basketball for a little while and you play touch football with your buddies. So we had 5 against 5. I was the captain of my team, and I'm going to call him Billy, was the captain of his team. I knew Billy very well. We had grown up together. He had the biggest ego and was the most braggadocious kid you've ever met in your life, to where you wanted to punch him in the mouth every time you played a game with him. Because he was the greatest in the neighborhood, according to him. And he always wanted to be glory. He sought glory in everything that he did. He wanted to be just the accolades to come to him because he was such a superior athlete. So here we are, 5 on 5. We've played the whole night. It's almost sundown now. Darkness is setting in, and so we decided, see, our team was ahead by 1 touchdown, and so we decided this would be the last series. Billy, if your team scores, we'll call it a tie and go home that way. If you don't score, then we win. Oh, I wanted to beat Billy so bad. So they march down the field all the way to the 2-yard line. It's now the last play of the game, basically. Either they score and we tie, they don't score and we win. Billy gets his kids back in the huddle and he goes, I want you to line up all on this side of the ball. So you got the guy who hikes the ball right here. Usually you've got a couple guys over here and a couple guys over here to even out the line, right? Are you following me, sports fans? Okay. So Billy puts everybody over here on this side. So he's crowding this side so he can run, and they would all block for him. He's only got to go 2 yards, and it's a touchdown. So everybody takes their position. Now I'm over here with these guys, right? Because I'm kind of backing up the front line, and I'm going to do what I can to help out. At the very last second, something inside of my brain goes, he wants more glory than this. Billy's going to go the other way. With everybody stacked over here, he's going to dart to that side. And so the guy gets over the ball, and Billy goes, hike. And I took off like a bee, and I tagged him right before the goal line. And there was joy in Georgetown. I would have never done that with any other kid in our neighborhood, but I knew Billy. And Billy wanted glory. He was going to lord it over us. I could just see him scoring that thing and throwing the ball down and blah, 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 like we had seen 100 times before. But I understood my enemy that day, which is why I was able to defeat him just before the goal line. Friends, we're living in a time when how the enemy used to move is not how he's moving now. It's a different set of rules we're playing with. There was a movie. I love good suspense movies. There was a murder mystery that I watched several years ago. And this guy had shot his wife in cold blood, called the police, and confessed over the phone. I just shot my wife. This is going to be a little hard to explain, but I want to prove this point one more time. So he's in jail waiting to go on trial, and here comes the deputy district attorney who is going to be against him in court, right? So they have to have a little meeting. So they have this meeting. This deputy district attorney was a young, kind of a punk, who had won 96% of his cases. So he was, like, talked about all around town. This young guy, and he had just gotten this invitation to go work with this powerful law firm. So he goes in and meets this guy now who has killed his wife and admitted it, but wants to represent himself in court. He thinks he can get off against the best district attorney in the whole city. So the district attorney's name is William. He calls him Willie. Willie, I want to tell you something. When I was a young man, my father owned a hatchery, a chicken egg plant, and it was my job to look at every egg that came out and see any perfections, and if I could see a perfection, they would throw that egg away and not sell it. And I would go through hundreds and hundreds of eggs, and I got so that I could detect the smallest imperfection in that egg. I became a professional at it. I could find a flaw in almost every egg. And he said, yeah, so what's that to me? He said, I found the flaw in you. He goes, oh, really? What's that? He goes, you're a winner. See, this young kid was so proud of his record in the courtroom that he was taking this whole case for granted. The guy's already confessed to murdering his wife. This is going to be up and shut. You know what happened? The guy walked away clean. He beat the young punk lawyer because the young punk lawyer didn't understand his enemy as much as he understood. This guy's going, he's got such an ego, I'll take him down in court. He understood the enemy. I see your flaw. You're a winner. You think you can't lose. Especially in an open shut case like this. How cool that was to watch this. It was a fascinating plot. Had some heavy language in it. That's why I'm not even going to say go rent it. But I had to tell you the story, all right? Just had to tell you that story. I've realized in my life that the enemy hates what I do. Especially this hour with Jesus now every Wednesday night. Because, see, 30 years ago, a little prophet has said, the Lord has set you apart this day for the healing of the nations. That was during one of the darkest times of my ministry. And now fast forward 30 years later, here we are putting on an hour program in one of my bedrooms, and it's touching 57 nations every week. People getting healed. It's absolutely amazing. So it's like, you do what you do, and you let God do what he does. Because who could ever script that? Who could ever decide that's what's going to happen? But the enemy hates that. And so Liz and I got back from our annual visit. We go to Hawaii every January for a little bit of a refreshing / ministry time. We minister a couple times over there, but most of it's a vacation. We came back home, And I tried to get my key in the front door, and the lock wouldn't open. Now, that's crazy. My assistant had just been to the house the day before to put the mail in there, and it worked fine. I put the key in the lock, and it wouldn't open. Now, the same key fits a door to the side of the house, but I had pushed a couch in front of that door for the winter time, so I had to kind of break into my own house. Bad when you have a key and you still have to break into your own house. But I finally got in, and we had a smoke alarm. We have a 20-foot ceiling in our house. The smoke alarm was chirping every 39 seconds. I counted. For 3 days, I'm listening to this thing chirp because I can't get up there. I call a company. They come out and they go, oh, we can get up there. That'll cost you about $800. I said, it's only a $3 battery. So they left. I call another guy, a handyman. He comes over. He can't get up there. I call the fire department. They come over. They go, oh, we can't get up there. I said, you're the fire department. Meanwhile, every 39 seconds, chirp, chirp, day and night, night and day, it never ceased, just like the elders in heaven worshiping. It never stopped. Chirp, chirp. Finally, an electrician comes over with a 16-foot ladder, climbs out, and stands on the very top of the ladder. You're never supposed to do that. I'm shuddering. It's like, be careful. He's able to change it out. So after 3 days, the chirping stopped. Now, Liz is in her car the very next day, and the thing just quits on her. It's just chugging to get back home to the garage. And by then, I'm going, what's going on here? We just came back from a nice little vacation, and it's like everything's going wrong. I take her car into the shop. $2,600 repair. Yama! That's a killer! 2 days later, a 100-year storm hits Texas. Have you heard about it? One of our pipes burst and flooded our bedroom and flooded our foyer. You could walk in the bedroom and it would go slosh, slosh on the carpet. It ran for 2.5 hours before the guy could come and shut off the water out front. We didn't have a shutoff valve by the house. I don't know why. Then the furnace went out. Then my car, which is 2 years old with 28,000 miles on it, started going, and I'm going, is somebody filming this? Because this is just... I don't know. Did I miss anything else, babe? That about covered it. But it almost became comical. It's like Murphy's Law. You know what Murphy's Law is? Everything that can go wrong will. This is what was going on. And we just decided this is not normal. This is the enemy going, I resist you. I do everything I can. But you know, I've always been a tither. And so with every single problem we had, miraculously, I called the plumber. I called a plumbing company. They go, we're not even taking names. There are so many pipes that are bursting in Frisco, Texas. We've got 3-week backup right now. Every single company I called. It's like, we can't go without water for 3 weeks. I call a friend who used to flip houses, and he says, you know, I've got the name of a plumber here. So I call this guy. He goes, you know, I wreck my truck on Monday, and I can't get to work, so if you come pick me up, I'll fix your pipe tomorrow. It was like a breath of sunshine from heaven. Because, I mean, everybody in town's waiting 2 to 3 weeks. I couldn't get the carpet restoration company out there. I have a friend in the flooring business. He said, I'll send one of my team out there. They'll get that carpet out of there tomorrow. They did that. Every single thing we were facing, God said, I got this. Watch. The insurance company sent me a huge check for the wood floor that was 19 years old in our home. We just installed it in a brand new floor all the way through the house, 1,500 square feet of wood floor just on the bottom floor. And it was all paid for by the insurance company. That was just, again, the grace of God. And when you're paying $2,600 to have your car fixed, you need brakes like that. So every single time we've watched God say, I see in this world you're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. You're a tither. I'm going to release heaven's finances to you. I'm releasing my blessing over your life. So our house has been repainted. It's got a brand new floor. It's about to look like a new house. That's the grace of God. But it all started with the enemy saying, I hate you and I hate what you do, and I'm going to come against you in 2021. Well, he lost. He loses. Listen, we need to be very positive with the words of our mouth, all right? We need to remind Satan daily that the blood of Jesus covers us. It covers our home. It covers our family. It covers our automobiles. And that no weapon formed against us will prosper because we are in him. The words of your mouth, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Understand the enemy. He's going to come against you, brother, differently than he would come against this sister because he sees your weaknesses. He knows those areas of your life where you're not very strong. That's where he's going to hit you. But be aware of that and take a step proactively to head him off at the pass so that he can't succeed in that. He's so sly and crafty. But may the Lord make his bride wise as serpents in 2021. We need to be a smart people. We need to be a people who are tuned into the voice of God and prophetic in our prayer and prophetic in our thoughts. See yourself as who you're becoming, not who as you are right now. See yourself as who God is making you. And the blessing of the Lord coming upon you, and speak that over yourself. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the healed and not the sick. I don't borrow from others. I lend to others, and I have all that I need because I am in him. If we practice the principles of heaven, God releases his blessing. He's not mad at you if you don't tithe, but he's going, you're tying my hands. I can't bless you if you don't keep the principles of my word. So when calamity hits, maybe nothing's good's going to happen if you haven't trusted him with every single area of your life, including your finances. I'm so grateful that the Lord has mercifully looked over our lives and said, I'm going to do this for you when nobody else in your neighborhood's getting this. I'm going to provide this at a wholesale cost instead of a retail cost. It's a blessing of God. We are favored of the Lord. We are his favorite kids. Man, how much I love when my three sons have something go good for them. I'll do anything for them. That's how the Father feels about us. He wants us to be victorious in this coming year. Who knows what lies ahead in 2021? Lord, help this stupid virus to be history soon. But who knows if another one's not just around the corner. We got to keep our eyes upward and keep worship on your lips. Never let that change. Worship your way through every single problem in life. That's one of the greatest tools to defeat Satan is worship and praise. We praise him for what he's done. We worship him for who he is. Okay? Praise God. Let's do one more song. I hope that spoke life to you this morning. I want to be one step ahead of the enemy in my life. I really do. Thank you. shared this morning about understanding the enemy. Again, he works differently in different lives. If you have a bent toward depression, he will try to get you as lonely and isolated as possible. So what can you do? Take steps to allow that isolation not to happen at the most weakest times of your day or your night. See, so look at your own life and think about where you're walking right now. Maybe there's somebody that you work with that is so hard to get along with, so hard to deal with. Resides inside of your spirit. Ask God for wisdom on how to deal with that situation. There's a myriad of things that could be thought about right now. And I just ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light right now in your soul. Lord, make us wise to the schemes of the enemy. We know he's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom.